Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be here again with you today. Please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We are going to be preaching from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And while you find this in your Bible, let me introduce myself again for any of you who do not know me yet. My name is Alberto Paredes. I am an international student from Mexico. I'm pursuing my MDiv and an MATS at Reformed Theological Seminary here in Charlotte. And as said before in previous weeks, I'm sharing with you different things each week so that you know how to pray for us. Today I want to share with you what are our desires for ministry after we finish. We acknowledge that God might have different plans for us, but what we would like to do is to work closely with the church in Mexico and Latin America. My wife is also studying counseling, biblical counseling, so I would like to go back after pursuing further education, go back, plant a church, also work with theological education there in Latin America, which I think is much, much needed. So please be praying for us. Even right now, we are engaged in teaching in Latin America through a ministry in which both my wife and I write for the church, free Reform resources in Spanish, which are lacking. So please be praying for us. And if you want to come afterwards and chat a little bit about what specific things to pray for, you're welcome to do that. And so we have been speaking this month and the previous one as well on the topic of becoming childlike. So from Matthew, we've seen that God values all children equally. And that has implications for the Christian life. Then we saw in the book of Isaiah that we have a God who is able and willing to strengthen his people. Last week, we studied how humility is an intrinsic aspect of childlikeness. And today we've come to the book of Proverbs to discover yet another aspect of being childlike. It is often the case that young people tend to consider themselves as wiser than their parents. Now, that is young people in other churches, I'm sure. That's not something that would happen here at ECPC. However, I remember me thinking I was wiser than my parents, and I was surely wrong. And so part of this aspect of becoming childlike is to be aware that this is a tendency of a human heart, to claim that I know better. So it is my counsel, the one that should stand. Nevertheless, the childlike humility about which we spoke last week comes also into play and is materialized in our willingness to recognize God's wisdom over ours. And so today, this is the truth that I want you to take home with you. That because God is the source of wisdom, you ought to listen to Him over yourself. So because God is the source of wisdom, you ought to listen to Him over yourself. And we're going to see this from our passage in Proverbs 3, 1 through 12, in three main points. We're going to be looking at two options, two outcomes, and two orders. Two options, two outcomes, and two orders. Thus, let me read from Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of day and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. And we ask you to give us wisdom to understand, to give us humble hearts, to trust in you, to listen and believe. Father, give me wisdom to preach your word faithfully, and in so doing to build up your church, to nourish them. Father, may your spirit work in everyone's hearts here to make them glad while listening to your word. Receive this preaching as an act of praise, and through your power, make it better than it would otherwise be. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, we spent some time talking about Hebrew poetry and how it works, its relationship with wisdom literature, and the use of parallelism. This is same idea repeated in different ways. This is going to be especially significant today, for you will notice that sometimes our sermon will not follow the flow of the passage verse by verse. This is something really difficult to do with the book of Proverbs. But rather, what we are doing is we're taking parallelism and we are allowing it to mark the ideas that come forth from the text. And this is what will give us our main point today. Thus, the first idea comes from two options, two different paths your life can take. These options are fairly simple and straightforward. Either you listen to God's wisdom or you listen to your own. You listen to God's wisdom or you listen to your own. Let us see the first option in verses 1 and 3. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Verse 3, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." The first option is thus presented. We ought to listen to our father's instruction. Now, on a general level, in the book of Proverbs, this father speaking to his son is not making reference to the communication the father, divine father, has with us. On a general level, there has been a motif from Proverbs 1 in which Solomon is writing to his son. So it's just father speaking to his son. Now, this does not mean that it is utterly unrelated to God's teachings and commandments. So even when Solomon is speaking to his son, there is a way to tie this to God's commandments and God's law. A godly father would take God's teachings and commandments as the basis for the manner in which he would instruct his son. The Hebrew terms for steadfast love and faithfulness in verse 3 are actually covenantal terms. They are the terms used for the covenantal love between God and his people, and the truth that is found within his word. Excuse me. In this way here, the author is making reference to the law of God and reminding his son to keep being faithful to the covenant the whole family has made, the whole community has made with the Lord. And to make this picture clearer, the poet depicts movement among these limes. It's a movement that comes from the outside to within. Let us read again verse 3. "Do not let them forsake you. Do what you can to keep them close," making reference to the steadfast love and covenant faithfulness. "In fact," he says, "bind them to your neck as if they were jewelry adorning you, something precious to you. Make them so close to you that they might become part of you, part of your inner being, that they might be written in your heart." In other words, the author is saying, "Son, do not forget what I have told you," which is this: listen to the Lord and obey his commandments. So the second part of the parallel, this is verse 3, help us understand the how for keeping the first part, which is verse 1. How should we keep ourselves from forgetting something? Verse 1 says, "Do not forget my teaching." How do we do that? I am terrible with memory, and my wife knows that. I'm especially bad at remembering family events and my schedule for the next week. So what my wife did was buying one of this magnet calendars that you put in the fridge, and we put some of the events for next week in there. Now, it's a small calendar. It's not that big. It's not a big fridge also. So obviously, not all of the events can get to the calendar, right? How do we decide which things get there? For something to get there, it must be an important thing. It must be something that, if forgotten, there will be consequences. So all of our RTS finals and RTS papers get to the fridge, to the calendar, that is. Our anniversary is there. And an appointed date with my wife ought to be there. And the common thread of all of those events is that we consider them valuable. Those are valuable moments that we do not want to miss and we do not want to forget. Which is why I believe someone erased the soccer match I was planning to see. That is true. The point is, only valuable and important things get to the fridge. And a similar idea is used when the author instructs us to keep the commandments. We only remember, we only tie to us and internalize that which is of value, that which is important. So a twofold application quickly follows. First, what is it that you're keeping in your heart? Think about it. What are you keeping in your heart? What is it that you do not want to lose? Is it a sin? Or is it the sin bearer? Is it something that draws you away from God or closer to Him? Second, a direct application for fathers and children. Fathers, heads of households, the question is, upon what basis are you instructing your children? What are the standards you are imposing to them? If what you are teaching them regarding their future, their success, their way to make it through life, is that drawn from Scripture or from somewhere else? Also remember that teaching them is not only a matter of words. Instruction is also given by way of example of life. They have the responsibility to listen, yes, to remember, to imitate, correct. But you have the responsibility of teaching them well. Also, children, young men and ladies, you need to remember that by obeying your parents here on earth, you are ultimately honoring God. So when dad says no, you don't go running and ask mom. That's dishonoring. Ignoring your parents' wisdom, That's dishonoring. Disobeying your parents' command, that's dishonoring. So every time a child disobeys his parents, every time parents use unbiblical standards to raise their children, every time we keep in our hearts that which should not be kept, we are not going for the first option. We are not choosing God's wisdom. In fact, we're doing the very opposite. We are going for option number two. We are choosing to listen to ourselves. We are choosing our own wisdom over against the Lord's. This second option is introduced in the poem by way of antithesis. This is what you should do. This is what you should not do. Don't do this. Do that. That's antithesis. That's the contrast. And we read verses 5 and 7. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean in your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And so the poem here is showing the profound contrast existing between those two options. The significance of this is that we cannot hold both at the same time. I cannot say that I fear the Lord and that I am being wise in my own eyes. I cannot say that I trust the Lord with all my heart while leaning in my own understanding. Those two are complete opposites. So which is it? Because in this case, we can't have it both ways. That's a contradiction. We want to notice also that he who relies in himself instead of fearing the Lord is identified, is described by one word: evil. We live in a context in which following your own heart, being true to yourself, going after your own desires is not only a good thing, but it's the best thing you can do. It's exalted by the culture. And yet, God calls that evil. And so we live in a time in which we as Christians should stand our ground. In issues such as abortion, the undesirability of children, homosexuality, the criminalization of godly household discipline, the state no longer will allow you to use discipline with your child. All which is contrary to the Lord's will. All that is against the fear of the Lord. And all that separates God's people from fully trusting him. There is no middle ground. God calls that evil. And so, such as there are two options, there are two outcomes. Now, before stepping into the dangerous place of absolutization, we ought to mention two things about Proverbs. In Proverbs, outcomes are proverbial. What do I mean by that? It means that outcomes are spoken of as observations of general patterns of life. Most often, that would be the case. However, there are times in which God decides to overrule these general outcomes to reach greater purposes. Just as a parenthesis, that's why we have books like Job and Ecclesiastes. Proverbs deals with that which is the most common, whereas Job and Ecclesiastes deals with what happens if that doesn't get fulfilled. And number two, we've just spoken harshly about that which is absolutely evil. How can I at the same time say something is completely, truly, absolutely evil and some things sometimes are fulfilled and sometimes doesn't? The answer in simple terms is that we allow Scripture to speak for itself. And so Scripture shows a God that is unchangeable. He is morally the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so whatever he says is evil, anywhere in Scripture will always continue to be evil. On the other hand, Scripture shows a God that is only compelled to fulfill a specific outcome when he promises that outcome will take place by swearing by his own name. We never see that in the book of Proverbs. That's how we can hold up both things. Moral evils in Proverbs are always bad. And so adultery is bad, even though it's spoken about in the book of Proverbs. Now, the fact that death will follow adultery, it's a general term. It's a general outcome. But it could be possible that nothing happened, at least right now in this earth, to the adulterers. So we speak of general outcomes, and there are two of them. Number one, blessings from the Lord. We are going to read verses 2, 4, and 8 through 10. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. 4. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and men. 8. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. So generally then, the outcome of choosing God's wisdom is physical health, spiritual health, even material blessings. Other places in Scripture also mention the length of days as a result of obeying the Lord. Think of the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land and the Lord God that the Lord God is giving you. The peace offered by God and finding good favor before him is a product of spiritual well-being, which is also similar to Psalm 1. Material blessings have always been part of God's covenantal promises. Regularly, covenantal material promises do not mean that you're going to be rich. But they mean that you will not lack anything. We think, for example, of Psalm 23. I shall not want. Or the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Now, this poem is not a covenantal blessing, but the author is saying that the more you walk according to God's wisdom, generally, the better you will do. As a word of encouragement, then, you might be in a season of your life in which the opposite is true. You're being faithful to the Lord. You are in covenant with Him. You are in a good, profound, deep, loving relationship with Him. And yet, you're suffering. Maybe financially, maybe physically. If this is you, let me remind you that God is not done yet. And what is generally true in the book of Proverbs, it's absolutely true in the new heavens and the new earth. We have the same loving God behind the generals than behind the absolutes. So endure. It is definitely worth it. Nevertheless, this is not the only outcome. As someone may choose God's wisdom, other people might choose their own. And for them, another outcome awaits, which is discipline. We read verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. For him who chooses to defy God's wisdom by listening to his own counsel, discipline is the only thing to expect. And two brief things are to be mentioned about God's discipline. First, regardless of how hard it might be, discipline is another form of blessing. Notice that this is only for the children. Discipline is here to remind he who has gone astray that he must return. Discipline is here to remind us that God loves us, to remind us that we are children. Learn this well. This is the only passage in the whole book of Proverbs in which God is spoken of as a father. And it is in the context of discipline. The second thing to note is that if you are not receiving discipline and you are living in sin, you should definitely be worried. One of the worst ways of God's judgment upon someone is to give them up to their dishonorable passions. So if this is your case, I would beg you to ask God for mercy. Repent from your sin. Ask God to cleanse you through the sacrifice of Jesus. For it is infinitely better to receive God's discipline than God's disregard. These verses also, by way of application, can illumine the way in which we deal with our children at home. Two things, real quick. Number one, reward is not unbiblical. We have a pattern of reward when someone does that which honors the Lord. And so if we're going to follow the pattern of discipline, let me encourage you to do the same with the pattern of reward. And also that ignoring your child's sin is not love. Discipline is a way to show your children love and to remind them that there are better things for them when they trust the Lord's instruction. We have seen two options, choosing God's wisdom or our own. And these generally have two outcomes, blessing or discipline. Let us finally turn to the orders herein presented. Honor the Lord. If you are the man then who listened to the Lord, trust him and is being blessed by him, then the author gives an order and a command to you. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of your produce. So basically, in the midst of blessing, remember where this blessing comes from. It comes from following God's wisdom and from God's hand. And so honor him with your speech, with your tithe and offerings. Honor him among those who recognize your success. Use the blessings from his hand to worship him and him alone. Now, if you are the man then who listen to yourself and receives discipline, this is the command to you. Verse 11 says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. In the midst of discipline, remember that God is loving, is a loving father, patient towards those who repent and return. One of the worst things we can do when receiving discipline is ignoring the Lord's discipline. Or even worse, using it as an excuse to depart further from him. Discipline is meant to remind you that which you have forgotten, to remind you that God has not forgotten you, that God has not despised you. So do not despise him by despising his discipline. As we close, it is a good time to remember that outcomes in Proverbs are proverbial, and that God may decide to overrule those outcomes to attain greater purposes. So let me tell you about one who chose God's wisdom, about what that was God's wisdom incarnate, about the one who fulfilled every law, kept every commandment in his heart, was humble enough to trust the Lord unto the cross. And yet he didn't sow any blessing for it. Rather, he gave up those blessings and suffered the fate of a sinful man. For when he was crucified, he took upon himself the sin of foolish people, those who chose their own wisdom over the Lord's. And he did that to give us life, so that we who were bound and enslaved to sin, who only were able to choose foolishness, are now able to turn to God's wisdom, to pray for God's wisdom, knowing that we have an advocate in heaven and that we have his Spirit interceding for us, reminding us that even in discipline, we are children of God. And if children, then heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. Let me remind you about Christ Jesus. He did all of this in accordance to the wisdom of God. He gave himself for us. How much more us, knowing the source of wisdom, ought to listen to him over ourselves. That is also part of being childlike. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your infallible and inerrant word. Father, forgive us for every time we've chosen our own foolishness over against your wisdom. And allow us to grow in wisdom. Allow us to choose your wisdom. Allow us to glorify you through that which Christ has done in us. I pray for this church as I pray for myself. In Christ's name, amen.